All right, well, the first part of the class today, we're going to finish up on baptism. On the Lord's Prayer. So we are in session 8, and we are on number 22, I believe, is where we... Oh, sorry, 24. 24 is where we left off. Wednesday, we got through the rest of the petitions. We did the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th petition Wednesday evening. So... basically, what we have left in the Lord's Prayer is we have the conclusion, and then we have a couple of follow-up questions there to wrap it up. So we'll finish up the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll move into to baptism today is the plan. I think we'll be able to start on baptism as well. So for the conclusion, we're going to go to our small catechisms here to the conclusion, which is on page 11. Do y'all have your little booklet here? There might be some more back there if you want to grab one, y'all can share. If there's not, there's probably some out on the rack, but I think there might be some up there in the corner. You see it? Yeah, just grab one of those you can use, because we will be reading that. And then when we get to baptism, we'll probably read at least a couple of the parts of that today too in the small catechism. So... all right, so we're going to be on the top of page 11, which is the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. David, are you going to be up for reading today?
Yeah,
or
sure.
Okay, do you want to start us out and read the conclusion and what does this mean?
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What is meant by the word amen? That I should be certain that these petitions are acceptable to our Father in heaven, and are heard by him, for he himself has commanded us so to do, and pray as promised to hear us. Amen, amen. That is, yea, yea, it shall be so.
All right, thank you. So this is the conclusion of, so we have the intro, then we have the seven petitions, the specific things that we're praying for in the Lord's Prayer as Jesus teaches us. Then we have this conclusion. And I mean, this is a great conclusion, isn't it, to everything? Because it points us to everything, God is. The kingdom is his, all the power is his, all the glory is his. And how long does that last? Forever and ever. And then, of course, that word amen, which we'll talk about a little bit here in a second. So this is a great conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. And you see this in the longer version in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, where actually with this conclusion, some of the original manuscripts have the conclusion and some don't. Most of them do, but some of them don't. But it's certainly a fitting end to this. And the Lutheran Church saw fit to include this conclusion and brief explanation here, focusing on the word amen for us in the small catechism. It says there, as we pray these words, we give God, the all-powerful Lord of heaven and earth, the glory that is rightly due his name. We can be certain that our Father in heaven hears our prayers and answers them as he has promised, because he alone is A, B, and C. These are the things we see. He alone is the what? He has all the good gifts and everything's in his control. What would that be? He's the what?
God,
and specifically there, for thine is the kingdom, so he's the what? He's the king, right? Christ the king is our congregation. So A there is he is the king. He has, you think of the king has all the power and all of the gifts at his bestowal for us. And we said, God is even greater than an earthly king because, of course, their power is limited, but God's power is unlimited. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are speaking to the ruler of the universe, and we are also speaking to one who can grant our petitions, right? So, I think I might have used an example earlier, but, there are certain things we can and can't do, like, if one of my kids comes to me and asks for a Lamborghini, I can't do that because I don't make enough money to afford a Lamborghini. Now, maybe I could get him like a used car or something, but I can't give him a Lamborghini. But when we go to God, Jesus says, ask and it shall be, knock and it shall be opened to you, seek and you will find, ask and it shall be given to you. And he says, you have not because you pray not. Well, how can God say that? Because God's in control of everything. So everything that we pray for, if it's the desire of the king, he can grant it because he has all the riches. So, if you went to a a very powerful, you know, earthly king who had all this wealth and stuff, and they said, ask me for anything. And there's actually a story like this in the Bible. I mean, you kind of want to, like, ask big, right? You know, you don't want to say, oh, just give me a slice of bread or something like that. No, it's like, you know, ask the king for anything, he says, and I'll give it to you. All right, so the next thing there is he has the what to grant our petitions. That's basically what I just said, the power, right? So not only does he have the authority to do it, he has the power to do it. Again, back to my example, as a father, I might have the authority to give my child a Lamborghini, but I don't have the power to do it, okay? You know, but he has not only the authority, he has the power to grant our petitions. And then finally, as we get to the end of the conclusion here, he has all the what and is worthy of our praise. So we have kingdom, power, and then what?
Glory.
He has all the glory. So when God does hear our prayers, as we'll see, he always does, and when he does grant these petitions according to his divine will, then all the glory goes to him, right? We don't take any of the credit for ourselves. All the worship goes to God. So he is worthy of our praise, and we see that is forever and ever. Okay, so let's talk about this word amen a little bit, which is what the meaning there in the catechism focused on. Okay, so amen or amen, you can pronounce it either way, is a Hebrew word. Okay, it's from the Hebrew language. So when we say amen, we're actually speaking Hebrew. Okay, it's a Hebrew language, and pretty much Christians in any language, I think I shared when I preached the sermon on this, I think it was on Easter on the conclusion, you know, when I went to a Korean service and, you know, I didn't understand anything, but I understood amen and hallelujah because that was the same in Korean. Why? Because they're not English or Korean words, they're Hebrew words. So hallelujah is a word of praise towards God, and then amen is a Hebrew word as well. And what does that word mean? That's what we're going to put in the blanks there. What does amen mean?
Yea,
it shall be so, right? So we could put that kind of in contemporary English there and say it means certainly or truly. Okay, so that's what would go in there for 25. It means certainly or truly. Okay, so when we say amen, we amen something, that means that we are saying this is true. Kind of like at the, remember in the Apostles' Creed, in the meanings, after Luther writes each meaning, what does he say? This is most certainly true, right? So basically, amen to this. So when we close our prayers with amen, when we're praying to God, we're saying basically, this is most certainly true. You know, this is true. And when we pray as a congregation, as a group of Christians, we're all joining that together, right? We're joining in that together. So it means we are in agreement that this is true. And so that's a fitting conclusion to our prayers, because we are certain that these petitions are acceptable to God our Father, and we are certain that he has heard us. Therefore, we say, yea, it shall be so. Okay? So that's a really short and powerful word there. Amen. Meaning certainly or truly, basically attaching our confession of faith that God has heard our prayers and those petitions are acceptable to him. Okay? All right, so let's look, as we're wrapping up prayer here, there's kind of three follow-up questions here now that we've gone through all of the parts of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 11. And these are some of the words of Jesus here, which can help us tie all this together. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Did one of you two want to read that one?
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mm-hmm.
So the question there is, how can this invitation of Jesus break down the walls of our prayer paralysis? Understanding what we just read there, how can this help us pray?
Just the comfort, knowing that Jesus Christ is already there.
Yeah, he says, come to me, and if you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, you know, come to me, I'll give you the comfort, the peace, the rest. He says, and the yoke there, we're talking, you know, there's a lot of agricultural language in the Bible, because that's what most people worked in agriculture at that time. So when we talk about a yoke, I remember I was in a Bible study one time at another church, and there, I think it was probably this passage we were looking at, and somebody thought it was talking about like egg yolks, you know, because when you say yoke today, that's probably what people think of, right? He's like, you know, yoke, my yoke is, you know, it's talking about, it's like breaking the yoke. It's like, well, okay, we're making eggs. What's the deal here? But what kind of yoke are we talking about here? An animal, right? Like an oxen or, you know, like a beast of burden, you know, an animal puts on this yoke and then it pulls, you know, a plow or a wagon or something like that. So when you think of a yoke being put on you, that's probably not a positive thing you think of, because you're like, man, I'm going to be pulling something heavy here. This is a yoke, a burden that I'm bearing. So, but what does Jesus say? He says to put on his yoke, but what's his yoke is? What's it like? What does it say there in 29? He says, take on the yoke. And then it says, for 30, my yoke is light. Easy and my burden is light. And why is that? Because who's done all the work?
He has.
Jesus has. Amen, right? So this is a beautiful thing. So really, you know, you're going to have a yoke on you. Okay, it's like everybody's going to be a servant, a slave to something. You're either going to be a servant to the devil or to God. Okay, and it's the same thing with the yoke. You've got two choices of a yoke. Okay, one yoke is a yoke where you're doing all the work. And that's when people try to earn salvation by works, right? It's a lot harder, and you can't do it, actually. You know, it'd be like if you tried to hook an oxen, no matter how strong it was, up to a 18-wheeler and said, pull it up Mount Everest. They can't do it. Okay, I don't care how strong the oxen is. But that's what happens when we try to earn salvation by works. But God says, put on my yoke, because basically I've done all the work. It's like he's pushing us all the way up the hill. So Jesus says, put on my yoke, but it's easy. So when we think about prayer and talking to God, this is very helpful, because we don't have to be afraid to talk to God, because he has already told us, hey, come unto me. My burden is light. My yoke is light. And I will give you rest, right? And especially in times when we're so busy, we're so tired, this is just so comforting to know that God is with us every step of the way. And he says, come to speak to him in prayer. All right, so and any other questions or comments, you know, jump in. I know we only got a couple folks in person today, but feel free to jump in if you want to. 27. Now, we might have talked about this a little bit, but this is another kind of wrap-up thing. Is it best to pray form prayers or prayers from the heart? Now, what I mean by that, what I mean by a form prayer is a prayer that's basically already written out for you. Okay, it's already pre-planned and you just pray it. And what I mean by a prayer by the heart, from the heart, that's commonly speaking like what we say, an extemporaneous prayer where somebody just starts praying. Okay, so which one of those is better? Well, it's kind of a trick question, okay? Because can we say one of those is superior to the other in every situation? No. Are they both good? Yes. Okay, so sometimes Christians will argue about this, like, which is better, you know? So someone who has more of a, I don't know, they're less like formal or whatever, they might say, well, you know, you Lutherans have all these form prayers. It's better to just, you know, talk to God with whatever's on your heart. And then we may say to the folks maybe that are, they're doing that all the time. Well, if you just, you know, how do you know what you're going to say? You know, because you might, you know, God says to pray for all these things and then, you know, you're leaving certain things out. So there's advantages to both of those. Okay. And as Lutheran Christians, we say, is it fine to do both? Sure. I think we kind of maybe lean a little more towards the form prayers. You know, we have books. I think you have one. Is it like has all, a prayer for every occasion? Okay. We have the collect of the day. That's like some of those have been in use for like 1500 years in the church. And then the prayer of the church. Basically, I have that planned out ahead of time. Okay. But certainly we have other times when we may just pray whatever the Lord puts on our heart. You know, like when I started class today, I didn't have that written out. I just started praying. Okay. Or Wednesday, I do that a lot. So it's not an either or, it's a both and. Sometimes when you're in a situation where you need to offer up a prayer like right away, real quickly, you know, you can't like pull out this book, look in the index. I mean, you just talk to God, right? But then what's the advantage of form prayers though? Why are those good sometimes too? Go ahead.
Well, I believe form prayers opens the door to you basically, and you start praying. Then all of a sudden form praying. You're just going right into
it may be
the heart.
Well, right. Well, even in the prayer of the church, don't we have that? We pray, and I always have that little pause, and I say, and at that time, anyone can lift up, you know, any prayer, you know, they want to at that point for other people or whatever. So, and even in that time, some church I've been, it's like people might audibly say someone's name, I mean, that's fine to do too. They'll just, you know, name somebody out in the pew, and that's fine. So so we even in that, which is more of a form prayer, you could say, we have that time. Or in confession and absolution, always have that time of silence. So we have this general, we're praying to God, confessing our sins, but then I leave that time there. Well, if there's anything that's, you probably don't want to blurt that one out in front of everybody, but that's just, you're right, you're there silent before God, and you, in your heart, you can lift up any particular sin at that point that's been burdening you this week or whatever, okay? So it's a both and thing, really. And with form prayers, I mean, there are some people who are very skilled at writing prayers. So again, why reinvent the wheel? If it's a good prayer, pray. Also, is it biblical? The Lord's Prayer is a form of prayer, right? Okay, well, who gave us that? Jesus. What about the Psalms? The Psalms are all form prayers, if you will. They were the prayers of ancient Israel. They would set them to music, their prayers. So, you know, when you're praying something right out of the Bible, like I said, with the Lord's Prayer, you can't go wrong, because when they said, teach us to pray, that's what Jesus said. So, and the other thing about when you have kind of like with the prayers of the church, why I like to use some resources and have those planned out, is if we just do free-flowing prayers or prayers from the heart all the time, we also have a sinful flesh, right? So what I find is if I'm only doing that, who am I mostly praying for when I do that?
Yourself.
Myself, and stuff that I want, stuff that benefits me. And because that's our sinful flesh. Now, can we pray for those things? Yes. But should we only be praying for those things? No. So if we have kind of a system to the prayers, like the prayer of the church, okay, maybe we don't pray for our government leaders every week, but we are on a regular basis. Maybe we don't pray for missionaries every week, but we are on a regular basis. Maybe we don't pray for our schools every week, but we are on a regular basis. You see, so there's kind of a system to it where we make sure that it kind of helps keep us on track, okay? But again, you don't want to go to the other extreme and say, nope, you can only pray these form prayers. These are the approved prayers, nothing else. Because God says, talk to him as a child does to a father, right? So when you talk to your dad, there may be some time you think about it and you've got an outline and you're like, okay, I want to make sure I hit all these points. But then sometimes you just go up and start talking to your dad, don't you? Yeah. Your mom, okay? Or, you know, your mentor, whoever that is. So it's kind of a trick question there, because the answer is you can't really say one's better than the other. They're both acceptable, and they both can be done in a God-pleasing manner. Okay, the last question here in this session is, does God hear and answer all prayers? Okay, for this, we're going to look up a couple scriptures. And actually, I added one in because as I was preparing for the sermon this week, our epistle reading has an answer to this as well, okay, that I'm going to include. So maybe if y'all would look up John 9:31 and 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, and I'll look up 1 John 5, which is you're going to hear in about an hour or so in worship. I'll look that one up because it had a great verse pertaining to this too. So again, we're not gonna look up all the verses, but we'll look up a few of these. All right, so we've got John 9:31, and one of y'all gets that if you want to read that. And then we've got 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. I can look that one up. Okay, just go ahead and find that John 9:31.
Mm-hmm. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth.
Okay, well, that's pretty straightforward. So if you are a believer in Christ and you are praying to God, does he hear your prayer?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, in a sense, when the unbeliever prays, does God know they're praying? Yes, because he knows everything, right? But he doesn't have to answer those prayers, okay, because it's not his children. So it's kind of like if you're in Walmart walking around or a store walking around, you might hear a bunch of people talking, but you might hear other kids asking their prayers. But if it's not your kid, you know, you're not going to go over there and say, oh, okay, you know. But if it's your child, you're going to hear the prayer. Okay, so in a sense, God hears even the prayers of unbelievers and that he knows they're praying. But as far as actually praying to him properly, where this is a father hearing the prayer of his child and he's responding to that prayer, that is for believers. But it says right there, right, he hears the prayers of his children, right? That's what we heard. All right, let me read 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, we're going to get to this in a second, but this is saying, basically, this is Paul praying, and he said he prayed for the Lord three times to remove this thing called the thorn in the flesh from him, but did God take it away? No, but did he hear his prayer? Yes. And Paul said, well, that was my answer. I have to, in the Lord's grace, go forward, okay? Let me read. This is from today's lesson, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So what is this saying? When we pray to God, does he hear us? Yes, he does. And how do we know we're praying properly? Well, we're going to see in the sermon today, and we've talked about in the class, the Lord actually prays with us. The Spirit prays with us, and those petitions are desired of him. So looking at those scriptures, and I know you guys have been here before and we've talked about this, but are we always, when we talk about prayer, bring this up, and for the benefit maybe of those who haven't heard it yet, when we pray, okay, God answers all of our prayers. Okay, but there's basically three responses we can get. What are they? The first one is
spiritual response.
Okay, but specifically like what can he say? Like, I ask you for something, what can you say to me?
I will.
You say yes, right? What else could you say?
Maybe.
Well, what else could you say even before that?
No.
No, right? You could say no. And then maybe, or you could say,
we'll see.
Yeah, not now. We'll see. Yeah, okay. Or not now. So this is where people think, well, you know, I prayed very fervently for this. Or if people say, I even prayed for this for years. And I guess God didn't hear my prayer. No. He didn't hear my prayer. He didn't answer my prayer. No, he just didn't answer it in the way that you wanted him to. So we might pray for something and God says yes. Okay, we might petition God for something and he says yes. And we say, thanks be to God. But then we also might pray for something and it's not that he doesn't hear. It's not that he doesn't answer. He says no. Again, think of the parent-child relationship. You know, do you give your kids everything they ask for? No. Why not?
Because they're not ready for it.
You're not ready yet. But that gets us to the third one. But you know some things are harmful to them, right?
Yeah.
You know, your three-year-old says, I want to go play in the middle of the road, Dad or Mom. And you say, no way. Why? Because in their child mind, that sounds fun. Maybe they're like, oh, I can set my train set up out there. Or I see some cool thing out in the road. Let me go see what it was. But you know that's harmful for you. So you say no. Okay, does God know more things than we do? Yeah. So there's some things, if we prayed for it and he said yes, it could be harmful for us, right? Okay? I mean, it could be something as simple as like, you know, you want to go on a trip somewhere, but God knows that the plane is going to crash and he's not done with you here yet. So he says that something happens where those plans fall. I mean, you got everything booked. You've paid money. And then, like, something happens and you can't go. And you're like, oh, this is horrible. Well, maybe saying no, though, was the best thing. Maybe you needed to be here because he was going to give you an opportunity to witness to someone. Okay? So God knows everything. So even in his knows, even if sometimes it's years later we understand this, we may never understand it on this side of things. But he says no out of his divine fatherly goodness, because it's good for us. And then the third one is, if it's not now or not yet. There are some things, they will happen. You know, I know testimonies of people that have prayed for a certain person for decades, and finally the Lord said yes, okay, in his time. Okay, so he may say not now. Okay, it's not time for that. Okay, I think I've used this before when I talk about it, but I always remember this from confirmation. Pastor Bernthal explaining this, and he said, look, when he was a little kid, he was probably like 5, 6, 7 years old, something like that, he wanted a shotgun. So he said every night before he went to bed, he prayed for God to give him a shotgun. Now, God didn't give him a shotgun. Why? Go back to our earlier example. Yeah, he's too young. I mean, he doesn't understand as a young child, this is a very, you know, dangerous thing if it's not used properly. He could hurt himself. He could hurt someone else. This isn't like a toy cap gun, right? So God said no, and it was the best interest. Now, later on, guess what he got? He got a shotgun when he got older, when he was old enough to responsibly handle it. Okay? So God said to that priest, said, not now. Not now, son. We're going to wait on that. Okay? I've seen this with people. Some people, they desperately want a spouse for companionship. And the Bible says, you know, there are some people like Paul, he never married. You know, and so God does call some people to the single life, and he uses that for his purpose. But then there are people, they really want a companion, but there's no suitable companion coming along. And wisely, I think many times, because some people just, the first person that shows the interest, they just, you know, jump into marriage or a relationship, and that may be not the greatest person. They get impatient, okay? But God may send that person along at some point. Okay, I think of our dear brother Fred, who passed away last year. I mean, he was a bachelor most of his life. I mean, he didn't get married probably till, I don't know, he was like 60 or something. Okay? And then the Lord sent the right woman into his life and he got married. I mean, you always thought this guy's going to be a bachelor forever. But I mean, it happened one day. When I was studying at the seminary in the SMP program, we had a guy there that was in his 70s. Okay? He was just studying to be a pastor. He was in his 70s. Okay? So, you know, at some point, you know, he lived most of his life, but God said, it's time, you know, it's time now, you know. And so, and there were a couple other guys that were retired, you know, because they had some other career. Now they're retired and the Lord said, okay, I'm going to use you in this way. So, you know, God says sometimes not now, not now. And again, it's in his timing. So it's a myth that God has unanswered prayers for his people. He answers all the prayers, but he just may not always say yes. And that's usually what people are thinking. God didn't answer my prayer. It was an unanswered prayer. What they mean is God didn't say yes to whatever I asked for. Okay? But he may have said no. He may have said not now. So keep praying for it. And but again, he is our good Heavenly Father. So he knows best. And again, that's what it comes down to in prayer. Remember, we've learned is prayer is not about twisting God's arm to get our way all the time. It's about trusting him, right? It's about trusting him, and the more we pray, the more we trust God. And that's what is this trusting, because again, it always go back to Jesus is the model, right? And what did he pray in the garden? He did not want to go to the cross. I mean, he knew what was ahead. You know, he said, if there's any other way, God, let this cup pass from me. But then the bottom line he prayed was what? Not my will, but thine be done. Your will be done, right? And that should be our prayer as well. You know, we could really earnestly desire something, but when it comes down to it, we have to put it in God's hands. And we have to trust the Father to be a good Father, and he is a good Father. Okay? All right. Any other questions or comments on that as we wrap up prayer? All right. Well, now...